from the Gospel of John in chapter 15, verse 9 and following. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. On this day that we celebrate friendship, I'm mindful of a friend of mine who's also a pastor in the church, but he shares a great gift as also being a barber. In fact, he's my barber, and his name is Scotty, and recently I visited with my barber pastor friend Scotty, and I got a haircut, but I did something a little differently. I gave him my money before he cut my hair. Now, I was putting some trust in him that he was actually going to do a good job, right? But also, it was just kind of convenient because he wasn't real busy at the time. So I went ahead and paid him. We went about our business of him cutting my hair. And while he was in the process of giving me my trim, several other gentlemen walked in. They didn't know about our prior business exchange, that he had already been paid. So as soon as Scotty finished cutting my hair, I jumped up and darted for the door. And I said, "Guys, he's doing it on the house today. Enjoy yourselves." Now, with a friend like that, who needs enemies, right? So on this day that we honor and celebrate friendship, it helps for us to pause and remember, well, just what is a friend? What does it mean to be a friend and to have a friend? Well, you know, when I think of friendship, there are three C's that I want to point out today. Not that that's all encompassing of everything that friendship is, but there are three that particularly come to mind to me this morning, attributes that we search for and we see in friends who impact our journey and our life for good. The first C that I want to think of today is a friend is one that we have confidence in, one that we can trust, a person who we can tell our deepest, darkest secrets, the ones we can pour our heart out to, and they pour their heart out to us. You know, I'm thankful that my dad, as he shared earlier, oftentimes when somebody tells him something that they don't want others to know, they say, "Gerald, now I'm going to tell you this, but whatever you do, don't tell my wife." His response is usually this, "Oh, I wouldn't tell your wife that for nothing. I'll just ask her if she knows." Now, that's not a friend you can trust. A friend we can trust that we have confidence in is that they guard what is precious to us. We can trust them when we're in need. When we're going through a dark time in our life. When an illness or a brokenness or a torn relationship at school or bullying is plaguing us. Or not being in the in crowd, whatever the it is, a friend is one we can trust to journey with us through it. There, those were confident. The second C that I think of when I'm mindful of a friend is one that we're close to. In other words, it's one that we enjoy being with. A person who makes us happy. Puts a smile on our face. Yes, a friend is one we go through the hard stuff. We share in confidence and we trust them. But also a friend. Hear me now, church. A friend is one that we should share moments of joy and happiness with. Now I'm going to tell you something here. If all of your friends are people who you don't go away with being happier, more joy-filled every once in a while, you need some more friends. If you have one who calls himself a friend and all they ever do is dump on you and you just have their baggage and you go away feeling heavier instead of lighter, friends, we need to search for all kind of friends. Sure, there are those that we need to journey with and for every once in a while. But there should be a two-way street to friendship. It should create happiness and more joy in life. As we find those we are closest to, they're the ones we want to be with. That's a friend. Those who make our life better. You know, as we're studying in our young adult class, one of the points that we made this past week is as you begin your life together, as you search out your soulmate, who you're going to spend the rest of your life with, search first for a friend. Someone you laugh with and share in happiness and joy. That's the second C of friendship. The third C of friendship that I'm mindful of today is a friend is one that you choose. Isn't that great? Not only do we get to choose our friends, but I like this even better sometimes. A friend chooses us. They see in us a person that they want to have a relationship with, that they can count on. That they will journey through darkness. They will celebrate triumphs. They can have fullness in life by choosing you as you choose them. You see, Scripture tells us this, right? As Christian people, we're called to love everyone. Now, that doesn't mean we like everyone all the time, does it? There are some people we just can't get along with so well. Isn't that our human nature? It speaks to our personality and their personality. They're just some people we're going to connect with and choose to be with over others. You know, I think a family is an example of that. I say it so often. Our family, we don't get to choose. Homer, we have to love them whether we want to or not because they're ours and they love us. There's some of those family members that can make us wring our hands at times and we don't want to spend a lot of time with, right? Sometimes we're the family member, of course. But friends, those are the ones we choose and the ones who choose us. What a gift to share your life with the one who chooses you. You know, when I think about choosing. I think that's a great gift to us. We like choices. You know, I was thinking, Manya and I were visiting last week with her parents on Mother's Day. And we were talking about Manya's little brother, Chuck, who's real little. He's about 6'4" and he has two young girls. And boy, he's getting broken as a daddy in a big way. when he wants to convince Charlie Jane to do something, he tries to be stern and firm and says, this is the way it's going to be. And she does it the way she wants to. But her mama, Kristen, has it figured out. When Chuck and Charlie are butting heads about what she's going to wear to school, when he says, you're going to wear this, and she says, no, I'm going to wear that. And he says, you're not going to wear this, and then she wears that. But Mama Kristen has it figured out. She doesn't get in an argument. You know what she does? She lays out 3 outfits. And she says, Charlie, you choose. Now, who chose there? Was it Charlie? Or was it Kristen? I think it was a little of both. Friends, that's what friendship is. They both won. That's what friendship is. We give to the other and we receive from the other and we choose together. Well, we've talked about friendship on a personal level. But in our scripture today, Jesus speaks to us about friendship in a spiritual level. In fact, John models for us in this text today how Jesus, our Lord, summarizes and completes friendship for us as His people. You see, I find it that Jesus embodies all of these characteristics that we've just spoken about. We hear it in our scripture today, where in verse 9 of chapter 15, Jesus says this to His friends. He's speaking to His friends here, His inner circle, the 12, right before He journeys to the cross of Calvary. This is His last teaching to them. He says to His friends as He gathers them, abide in My love, abide in Me. Now that's not a word we use very often, abide. But in a legal setting, Judge Eliot would tell us that to abide with something means to be a law-abiding citizen. We hold it as truth. We're willing to follow that rule. You see what Jesus is saying here in verse 9? He's saying, abide in My love. Or in other words, Jesus is saying, as your friend, you can have confidence, that first C in Me. You can trust in Me. You can abide in My love because it will not fail you. Jesus is a friend we can trust. Abide in Him, church. Embrace His call in verse 9 to put your trust in Him. Eternally, yes, but also daily. Through whatever you face. Our scripture also tells us this. In verse 11, Jesus says this beautiful passage of scripture, I have told you these things so that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Wow. You know what I hear Him saying to us there? There is joy in the Lord. There is happiness in Jesus Christ that the world cannot give us. Just as the second C of friendship reminds us that those we're closest to are the ones we're happy, who give us joy. Friends, Christ gives us that gift even more abundantly. His scripture says, I am with you, so that you may know My joy. And that you, church, you, friends, you, family members, people of faith, your joy may be complete. That's the gift of our Savior and His friendship. Our scripture also tells us this in verse 16. I love this passage where our Lord says to His friends and us today as modern day friends and disciples, you didn't choose Me. I chose you. Wow. Isn't it great to be chosen? Yesterday, I was in Oxford for a memorial service for my former football coach, Billy Brewer. And among the speakers that day was an All-American pro football player, Wesley Walls. And Wesley shared, as he was playing professional football, he'd played a few years with the 49ers. Then he spent a couple of years in New Orleans, and he became a free agent. And the way that free agency works, you can begin a discussion with another team if they would like for you to come and play for them. He said on the day of free agency, at 12:01, that'd be a.m., right? Midnight, 12:01 a.m., he got a phone call. First day of free agency from Dom Capers, the head football coach for the Carolina Panthers. And you know what he said? Wesley, who'd been a backup role player, who eventually started when he went to New Orleans, he didn't say, "Wesley, we want you to come here so we can make you a starter." He said this, "We want you to come here so we can make you a star." You know what was evident in his mind? That if that coach called him at 12:01 a.m. on the first day of free agency, he only had one call to make, didn't he? And he chose him over all the others. We see, that's the way the world treats us. If we're playing at our best, Coach Willie wants to put us in the game. He chooses us. That's our human nature as we seek victory together. But Jesus Christ, friends, hear this. He doesn't choose us when we're at our best. He chooses us even when we're at our worst. Wow. That's what I call a friend. A Savior who looks upon us and sees one worthy of choosing through His gift of grace and love. Yes, our Lord embodies what it means to be friends. But you know, I think most of all, when I think of friendship, we've talked all around it today, but the greatest gift of friendship surely is this, what it all comes down to, that our Lord says repetitively throughout this scripture today, friendship is this. It's love. It's love. Love is a powerful thing, isn't it? You know, I told a story about love this week. Dad and I visited with his brother-in-law, Sammy Owen, who's still grieving the loss of his loving wife. And we spend time with Sammy. Dad does every week. And we laughed a lot. We were friends. We told stories. We reminisced. We told stories. And I saw my cousin in-law, that's a Mississippi statement. You can have a cousin-in-law in Mississippi. Did you know that? I saw my cousin-in-law walk in to the restaurant. His name's John. He's quite a gardener. He grows some of the most beautiful tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, everything. Last summer, Mom and Dad were up at Paris, Tennessee, and I was going up, Monya and I, and they phoned me or texted me and said, "Hey, go by John's and get some vegetables. He sells vegetables. They grow so many." And man, I went by there and I got two big grocery sacks full of vegetables. And I said, "Okay, John, what I owe you?" And he loves my mom and daddy. They've been there for him in times past when he was in need. When he had his ox in the ditch, they were there for him. They were a friend. And you know what John said to me? I said, "John, holding my big grocery bags, what do I owe you?" He said, "Jody, I don't take money from people I love." I let that soak in a minute, and I said, "Wow, are you sure, John? That's so gracious of you." He said, "Yep, I'm positive." I said, "Well, John, I'd kind of like some tomatoes myself." He said, "Okay, Jody, that'll be $5. Love is a powerful thing. It got Gerald 2 free basketfuls and sherry of groceries. And it only cost me $5. Love is powerful. You see, our scripture culminates with this word from Jesus. When he says, no one has greater love than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. Church, friends, Jesus laid down his life so that we could trust him. Jesus the Christ laid down his life for us when we were at our worst. Jesus laid down his life so that we will know fullness and happiness and joy. Jesus laid down his life because he loves you. May we, friends of our God on high, go forth in his love, being friends to one another and the world around us to his glory forever. Amen.